Good evening, everybody. You're tuned to 103.2 Dublin City FM, and this is Europe Today with your presenter for this week, John Bourne. Coming up on tonight's episode, we'll be hearing from some of our Irish MEPs about what's been happening in Brussels and Strasbourg. We'll have a rundown of some of the stories of European interest that have made the headlines here in Ireland, and we'll have some great music from Italy and the Netherlands for your enjoyment as well. So stay tuned to us here on 103.2 Dublin City FM for the next half an hour on your programme Europe Today. The rate of inflation in Ireland rose sharply in April compared to the previous 12 months, but it is still one of the lowest in the EU. New figures from Eurostat show that inflation here last month rose to 1% from just 0.1 in March, making it the fifth lowest in Europe. For the 10 months before March, the rate in Ireland had been under 0%. Tim Hayes of the European Commission Office in Ireland says energy and food costs have contributed significantly to the increase.
This is basically due to rising energy and food costs. Ireland's inflation is 1.1% for the year to April 2021, but that compares quite favourably with countries like Hungary and Poland, where the inflation rate was over 5%.
Ireland has the lowest proportion of people living in flats or apartments compared to any other country in the EU. Eurostat figures for 2019 show that just 8% of us live in apartments compared to 46% of the EU population. Ireland is one of only two European countries, along with the Netherlands, where more than half the residents live in semi-detached properties. Tim Hayes of the European Commission says Irish people would rather own their own place than pay dead rent to a landlord.
In Ireland, almost 70% of us live in owner-occupied property as opposed to renting. So that compares with 51% of the residents in Germany and a whopping 96% of the residents in Romania.
One in five people in Ireland worked from home last year, the third highest figure in Europe. A Eurostat survey showed that Finland topped the list of EU member states for home working, with a quarter of employed people there working from home in 2020. Tim Hayes of the European Commission says working from home is becoming more apparent, particularly for self-employed people.
About 1 in 8 of employed people aged between 15 and 64 in the EU usually worked from home last year, although previously only about 1 in 20 had worked from home. Traditionally, more self-employed than employed people worked from home.
Eurobarometer published this week the results of a flash survey on the attitudes of vaccination against COVID-19 across the EU, conducted at the end of May 2021. It shows that 76% of Irish people have already been vaccinated or would like to be as soon as possible. Fourth highest in the EU after Malta with 86%, Spain 78% and Germany 77%, and well above the EU average of 69%. A further 11% of Irish people would like to be vaccinated in 2021 or sometime later. Only 6% of Irish people do not want to be vaccinated, compared to an EU average of 9% and a high of 23% in Bulgaria. A €5 billion fund to overcome the consequences of the UK withdrawal came a big step closer to adoption this week after the Council of the European Parliament reached a preliminary agreement on the draft regulation. The deal means that funding from the Brexit Adjustments Reserve can begin to be disbursed before the end of the year. The reserve is designed to support all EU member states while focusing on the most affected regions and sectors. This week's EU-US summit marked the beginning of a renewed transatlantic partnership and set a joint agenda for EU-US cooperation in the post-pandemic era. Key summit deliverables include three major new trade initiatives. Leaders agreed to resolve long-standing disputes regarding aircraft, discuss measures on steel and aluminium, and set up a trade and technology council. They also discussed COVID-19 vaccines, ensuring a sustainable recovery, protecting the planet, and cooperating on foreign and security issues. The Commission this week adopted the main work programme of Horizon Europe for the period 2021 to 2022. It outlines the objectives and specific topic areas that will receive a total of €14.7 billion in funding. This funding will support European researchers through fellowships, training and exchanges, build more connected and efficient European innovation ecosystems, and create world-class research infrastructures. The EU has submitted its proposal seeking the commitment of the World Trade Organization members for a multilateral trade action plan to expand the production of COVID-19 vaccines and treatments and ensure universal and fair access. President von der Leyen said, "Our immediate urgent goal is to ensure equitable access for low and middle income countries to share vaccines wider and faster, and we continue to help ramping up production. The EU proposes concrete short and medium term solutions to ensure universal access at affordable prices." The European Commission this week adopted a decision harmonising the use of 6 GHz band for wireless networks across the EU. Thanks to this, citizens and businesses will be able to enjoy better, faster and more stable Wi-Fi connections across the EU, including for video conferencing, streaming and sharing content, telemedicine or when using augmented reality technologies. The European Commission and the High Representative this week presented a joint communication on the EU's relations with Russia. It presents recommendations ahead of next week's European Council on how to strengthen the implementation of the EU's Russian policy. High Representative Josep Borrell said, "Under present circumstances, a renewed partnership between the EU and Russia, allowing for closer cooperation, seems a distant prospect. Our ambition should be to explore paths that could help change the current dynamics gradually into a more predictable and stable relationship."
Stile scemo, stanotte non dormi, tu chiamali sogni, ma sono ricordi. Scrivi le scemo, è colpa del vino, se basta uno sguardo e ritorni bambino. Scrivi le scemo, ci vuole coraggio nel 94 ad essere bacio. Dicono che sei un po' cresciuta oramai e non sei più quella bambina che baciava Harry Styles in TV. E pedano, uccidono, sti cazzo di ti amo, ballano dentro la bocca un ritmo cubano. Il sangue, le lacrime, un grido blasfemo, tu fatti coraggio, poi scrivi le scemo. Scrivi le scemo, tre parole in croce, poi scappa lontano, poi perdi la voce. Scrivi le scemo, un finale migliore per quella puntata della televisione, interrotta da torri che andarono in fiamme e bimbi che facevano domande. Sei un po' cresciuta oramai e non sei più quella bambina che baciava Harry Styles in TV. E pedano, uccidono, sti cazzo di ti amo, ballano dentro la bocca un ritmo cubano. Il sangue, le lacrime, un grido blasfemo, tu fatti coraggio, poi scrivi le scemo. E metto Bon Iver se sono giù e lo pronuncio sbagliato proprio come fai tu. E scusa per l'ansia, un mangiare dentro e per il cane che scappa con il cancello aperto. Vedi non sono bravo a fare restare chi mi vuole bene, però so aspettare e con te mi sa che lo farò. Ma dove sei? Dicono che sei un po' cresciuta oramai e non sei più quella bambina che baciava Harry Styles in TV. E pedano, uccidono, sti cazzo di ti amo, ballano dentro la bocca un ritmo cubano. Il sangue, le lacrime, un grido blasfemo, tu fatti coraggio, poi scrivi le scemo. Yeah.
The European Commission this week launched 11 new European partnerships together with industry to boost investments in research and innovation and to overcome major climate and sustainability challenges. The partnerships will receive over 8 billion from Horizon Europe, the new EU research and innovation programme for 2021 to 2027. Vice President Margrethe Vestager said the partnerships will mobilise significant resources, around 22 billion euro, so that we can jointly identify trustworthy artificial intelligence, data, robotics and many more technological tools to reach our environmental and climate goals for a cleaner and healthier future. The European Commission this week presented a communication on the early lessons learned from the COVID-19 pandemic over the last 18 months. EU Health Commissioner Stella Kyriakides said the key lessons learned from the COVID-19 crisis is the need to transform the ad hoc solutions that were used to deal with the crisis into permanent structures that will allow us to be better prepared in the future. We need to have a strong European health union in place as soon as possible. Time cannot be lost when faced with a public health threat or another pandemic. Landmark EU rules on addressing the dissemination of terrorist content online entered into force earlier this month. Platforms will have to remove terrorist content referred by member states' authorities within 1 hour. The rules will also help to counter the spread of extremist ideologies online, a vital part of preventing attacks and addressing radicalization. The rules include strong safeguards to ensure the full respect of fundamental rights such as freedom of expression and information. Monday, the 7th of June, marked the deadline for member states to transpose the new EU copyright rules into national law. The new copyright directive protects creativity in the digital age, bringing concrete benefits to citizens, the creative sectors, the press, researchers, educators and cultural heritage institutions across the EU. At the same time, the new directive on television and radio programmes will make it easier for European broadcasters to make certain programmes on their online service available across borders.
Broadcasting on 103.2, this is Dublin City FM.
Now you can follow Europe Today on Twitter.
The European Parliament has called for a ban on caged animal farming. The vote comes in response to a petition signed by more than 1.3 million people. MEPs want the EU to carry out an analysis of the use of cages with the aim of setting phasing out dates species by species. Midland Northwest MEP Colin Markey voted in favour of the cages ban, but he warns it will require farms to be significantly reconfigured and farmers should, in his view, be compensated for the cost.
Caged farming, I suppose, is a thing of the past, if you like, and with due consideration given, I think 2027 gives a reasonable transition period over a number of years to allow this to happen. There will be a significant economic challenge to transition and a significant cost. You're talking about fundamentally redesigning, let's say, buildings and that. And certainly there would need to be some level of support there.
Producers in the rest of the world should have to meet the same animal welfare standards as Irish farmers if they want to sell into Europe. That's the demand from Colin Markey. The European Parliament has backed a petition signed by more than 1.3 million people for a ban on farming with animal cages. The European Commission is now expected to look into how a ban could be achieved. Midlands Northwest MEP Colin Markey supported the cages ban, but he says it will only work if standards are raised everywhere and Irish farmers are not undercut.
If we drive ahead in terms of proper standards in Europe, it's no good if that leads to less production in Europe at these higher standards while a greater level of production goes on in third countries at lower standards than we were even previously at. So those farmers who choose to sell into the European market have to meet the European standards.
Ireland is set to get the 20% of the 5 billion euro pot of money for countries most affected by Brexit. That's according to Fianna Fáil MEP Barry Andrews. The European Parliament recently set out its view on how money from the Brexit Adjustment Reserve Fund should be allocated. They want priority to be given to the likes of fishing communities that are dependent on fishing activities within UK waters and sectors that have strong trading links with the UK. Barry Andrews says Ireland will benefit the most from the fund. He's hoping it should be available from the middle of this year.
It's going to benefit fisheries industries that have been negatively impacted. It can be invested in customs facilities. You look at Rosslare and Dublin Port that have had to make adjustments. So it will be very beneficial to countries that have been most badly affected by Brexit.
Solutions can be found to resolve the ongoing dispute between the EU and the UK over the implementation of the Northern Ireland Protocol, but flexibility will be required from both sides. That's the advice from former Justice Minister and now MEP Francis Fitzgerald. Negotiators from both sides failed to reach an agreement recently on post-Brexit trading issues between Britain and Northern Ireland. US President Joe Biden is expected to warn Boris Johnson not to let the row impact peace in Northern Ireland. Francis Fitzgerald says the EU is prepared to be flexible, but the UK must also show a willingness to soften its approach.
Both sides have to join the dance. That's the reality. And if they don't, you get into trouble. I think the EU is certainly prepared to have some flexibilities, but they equally wanted to see movement on the UK side. There's very practical issues that people, you know, in the north are concerned about. I believe there are solutions, but it does take, it's like every diplomatic solution and practical solution, it does take motivation from both sides, and the signs are not good at present. There is a real danger of this unravelling. And this is the last thing that we want in Ireland or within the EU. But I have to say I'm disappointed at the approach of the UK to these issues. My belief is that there's absolute scope to come to an agreement with goodwill on both sides. But we seem to have got into a position where it's almost a standoff, and that's not helpful.
The European Parliament has backed calls for a patent waiver on vaccines. The vote in Strasbourg was expected to be close, but in the end passed 355 in favour, 263 against, and 71 abstentions. The resolution calls for a temporary dropping of intellectual property rights on COVID vaccines to try and improve access to doses for other parts of the world. Dublin MEP Ciarán Cuff says the reluctance from pharmaceutical companies to agree to patent waivers so far comes down to money.
Clearly, they want to protect their own interests and their own profits. But I don't think profit should be the main motivation for protecting us against COVID. And I think we should have a limited time, limited waiver for the COVID vaccines. Much of the research work on developing the COVID vaccine came from government funding. And I think if governments have put so much money into developing these vaccines, they deserve to gain from the rapid rollout to make everyone safe.
The European Parliament has called for a biodiversity law to better protect the land and sea around us. MEPs want to see at least a third of Europe's land and sea protected and initiatives to counter nature's decline, both in the countryside and in cities. For Green MEP Grace O'Sullivan, it is a big win. She says Europe should set firm commitments, starting with the ground beneath our feet.
We don't have binding targets in terms of soil protection, and healthy soil is so critical, not only for the production of food and the support of microbes, but also in terms of carbon sequestration. And so it provides a really important ecological function.
The European Parliament has called for Europe-wide defences to protect public services against cyber attacks. The issue was put on the agenda by Ireland South MEP Billy Kelleher following the recent attacks against the Irish Health Service. The number of cyber attacks in Europe doubled last year, according to the EU's Cyber Security Agency. In a resolution in the European Parliament, MEPs called for devices to be designed to be more resilient and for a coordinated approach to respond to attacks. Billy Kelleher says the threats need to be taken extremely seriously.
Cyber attacks aren't something that are in the realms of fantasy land anymore. They have a real impact on people and on services, the European Union should play a lead role in trying to coordinate resources and to come up with policies defending public health services, financial services, broader public utilities, because no country alone can defend itself.
Irish authorities will recognise EU-wide COVID travel certs from July the 1st. That's according to Fianna Fáil MEP Barry Andrews. The European Parliament has just approved the EU Digital COVID Certificate, which will contain information on a person's vaccination status along with negative COVID test results and recovery status from the virus where applicable. The cert will be in operation from the beginning of July and should help people to travel more easily within the EU. However, people in Ireland won't be able to get these certs until later in July. Here's Barry Andrews.
From the 1st of July, digital COVID certificates issued in all of the other member states will be recognised in Ireland. So it's kind of very positive in a sense that there'll be lots of people coming to Ireland, but we won't be able to leave the country on the back of the digital COVID certificate until later in the month. It won't be ready on the 1st of July, and when the regulation is completed, it'll have a 6-week transition period available to all member states. And as you know, Ireland has been the subject of a ransomware attack, which has set back the HSE to some extent. But also the digital infrastructure in the HSE isn't of the first order anyway. So we were always going to take a little bit of time to do this. And my understanding is that from the 19th of July, when non-essential travel will be allowed again, we will have a digital COVID certificate available to those who've been vaccinated. It will also contain information about a negative PCR test.
The all-day meeting of the European Parliament Subcommittee on Security and Defence recently included a session on the EU's climate change and defence roadmap and a presentation of the study on preparing the common security and defence policy for the new security environment created by climate change, with Arnout Molinar, Head of Division Security and Defence Policy, European External Action Services, and Professor Christopher Meyer, Professor of European and International Politics, King's College London. Afterwards, Wexford MEP Mick Wallace had this to say.
Would there not be a broad agreement for those that are interested in addressing the challenges of climate change in relation to the military, that we actually have to reduce military activity? The biggest single polluter on the planet today is the US military. They have over 800 military bases worldwide and engage in many other activities, obviously, as well. And given that we are very concerned about the challenges of climate change, are we ever going to get to the space where we will start to realise that making peace is probably a bit more important than making war, and that we start reducing the carbon footprint of the military? In your presentation, you talked about the need for military support for natural disaster emergencies. Well, if I look at Ireland, where we actually have a fair bit of flooding, we get more than our share of rain a good bit of the time. But the local authorities are best placed to actually deal with the flooding, and they're experienced at it. And I think it would be unfortunate if we started laying off members of the local authorities and replacing them with defence workers to do that kind of work with the military personnel. I mean, the Irish Army is small, and they have a very proud reputation in peacekeeping, but we don't need them to be any bigger than they are. We actually just need to pay them better than they've been paid, because they're actually been very poorly paid at the moment, and a lot of members have been leaving, and we've been struggling with maintaining staff numbers in Navy and Army, so we just need to pay them a lot better and give them better working conditions. I think it's really important. They have a very proud reputation. But I do think that if we're going to be serious about addressing climate change, we should be looking at reducing the size of the militaries worldwide.
Ik weet niet hoe lang niet gezien, maar wie heeft wie wat uit te leggen? Wat zal ik zeggen? En wat zeg jij? Bewijzen wij niet elke keer? Een vriend zegt zwijgen vaak veel meer.
Vaak veel meer. Oh, 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 oh.
Als ik de nacht bewonder,
besef ik dat ik altijd onder dezelfde hemel sta als jij. En ben je even heel dichtbij, ik hoef maar aan je te denken. Hoe je danst in de lente, wat zou ik graag bij je zijn. Ik hoef je niet aan.
Dat ik zeggen kan, mijn homie, mijn vriend, mijn beste man. Tijd vliegt voorbij zonder pauzes. We zijn beide veel te druk, man, ik hou van je. Maar dan zit ik soms fout, je neemt me niks kwalijk. Eén blik voor een miljoen verhalen. Elke sorry die is overbodig. Je bent daar als de nood het hoogst is.
Als ik je weer zie, stel dat ik je eerder zie. Ik zal je pakken, ik zal je smakken. Ik duw je op, ga door het dak en ik neem je mee. Zelfs als ik je niet zie, voelt het nog altijd met z'n tweeën.
Ik hoef je niet aan.
Well, I'm afraid that's all we have time for this week's, folks. I hope you've enjoyed the programme. If you want to get in contact with us, give us a ring on 865-8020. That's 865-8020. You can text us on 087-977-1032. That's 087-977-1032. Join us again here on 103.2 Dublin City FM at the same time next week and your programme, Europe Today.